This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
My title of my talk today is Seven Things That Happen When the Holy Spirit Comes. Seven Things That Happen When the Holy Spirit Comes. And it's in from Acts chapter 2. We'll come to that in a little moment. Did you know, importantly, that the month of May is Zombie Awareness Month? It is. So I don't know how your awareness is. Are you sharp on your zombiness? And yesterday was actually World Goth Day. World Goth Day. I know you're all in tune with that. I could see from your outfits. Yeah. But more importantly, or more seriously, today is Missing Children's Day. And today is also a big day for the church. A big day for the church. And we're going to read about it in Acts chapter 2. We're going to read quite a lot of that, actually. So if you can... You'll either have to listen carefully or follow it in your Bibles or your devices. It makes me wonder, what's your favorite day of the year? You know, when do you like to celebrate? Is it Christmas Day or your birthday or Mothering Sunday? What's your favorite day? We've got around 8 bank holidays usually every year. And the Jewish people have 8 or 9, I think I counted, sort of annual holidays, feasts. One of them is the Feast of Weeks, and that happens in May, round about now. And it's called Pentecost in the New Testament. In that part of the Bible, the right-hand side of the Bible that we read a lot, it's called Pentecost. And that's something we celebrate today. Today is Pentecost Day. Something happened during the Feast of Weeks 2,000 years ago. It was 50 days after the brutal execution and then the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there were about 120 bewildered, anxious, nervous, confused, a bit excited disciples, men and women, gathered together in some, probably not in a home because there were too many of them, but in some sort of big house. And just like Jesus had told them, they were praying and they were waiting. Then all of a sudden, one day, around about breakfast time, this happened. So this is in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. That's analogous. It wasn't actual fire. It wasn't actual wind, but it sounded like wind. That must have been amazing. What was that really like? And it looked like fire, the Holy Spirit coming. And I see the Holy Spirit right now, like flames above this church building. And flames across the city of Leeds and wherever you are watching, over your home. And it's like the Holy Spirit is saying, do you want me to come? Will you invite him in? Shall we invite him in today, here? Do you want to invite him in where you are at home? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, says verse 4, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? That reminds me of when we lived in London and people, they used to say, oh, that's David, he's from Yorkshire. It's sort of like, sandwich short of a picnic. But they are these all Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in our own languages? And then it goes through a geography lesson all the way around the Mediterranean. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism. Interesting bit of detail. Cretans and Arabs, and we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they'd had too much wine. Then Peter, this is the Apostle Peter, stands up and he says, and he addressed the crowd, and he says, "Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, but it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And then he goes on, we'll read it. He's going on to quote a famous prophecy from Joel, which all the people listening would have known off by heart. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, even the children. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." "Fellow Israelites," says Peter, "listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, and as you yourselves know. And this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you," it pointed this, "and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Verse 36, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God, who has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And when the people were heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, sisters, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves." And loads of people became Christians. Verse 42, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. I just love that story. I know it's a long thing to read, but I just love the story, and I read it often. And it's, I want to share with you seven things. There's probably lots more, but seven things that happen when Holy Spirit comes. It won't take long. Each thing will only take me about 10 minutes to explain, so we should be done by dinner time tonight. Just kidding. Just kidding. Seven things that happen really quickly. So, one, he gives a voice to the voiceless. When the Holy Spirit comes, he gives a voice to the voiceless. So imagine the scene. You've got these Yorkshire guys who are working class, not terribly smart guys, allegedly, who are normally in that environment in Jerusalem, in the capital city, where all the rich people from all around the world had gathered to worship. They were just to keep quiet in the corner. They were the ones who were speaking. And the ones who were listening were the ones who don't normally do the talking. The voiceless all of a sudden had a voice. And those who normally dominate and speak had to listen. When the Holy Spirit comes, he gives a voice to the voiceless. When the Holy Spirit comes, there it results in praise and thanksgiving to God. That's what they heard. All these people heard God being praised, thanksgiving to God, going to him. When the Holy Spirit comes, our response is not cursing, not other stuff, but praise and thanksgiving to God. The third thing that happens when the Holy Spirit comes is understanding, supernatural understanding. You could say that this wasn't so much the miracle of languages and tongues, it was the miracle of ears, because people could hear what they hadn't understood before. You remember the story in the Old Testament, right at the beginning, there's a story called Babel, where all the people of the world speak the same language, and they get together and they try and build a big tower to compete with God. And God says, I'm not having that, and he confuses their language so they don't understand each other. This inverts that. All of a sudden, speaking different languages, they do understand about God and what's being said. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's supernatural understanding. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's supernatural revelation. So God loves to speak to you and to me, and to you through me, and to me through you. And he uses gifts of revelation, prophecy, speaking in other languages, words of knowledge, dreams, visions. When the Holy Spirit comes, expect there to be supernatural revelation. When the Holy Spirit comes, there are signs and wonders. That's what happened in the church. People began taking notice because of signs and wonders. That's how Jesus drew attention to and confirmed what he did by signs and wonders. People get healed. Families get restored. The hungry get fed. Demons get cast out. When the Holy Spirit comes, expect to see signs and wonders. When the Holy Spirit comes, he breaks the power of money. He turns things upside down. He introduces a new economic model. I spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. And if we see in those last few verses about how they began to live together and they began to share their possessions so nobody was needy. It was an upside down economic model. Just like the languages were turned upside down, so was the way they handled money. When the Holy Spirit comes, he breaks the power of money. And then finally, when the Holy Spirit comes, the result is belief and baptism. And people are struck to the heart and they say, what can I do? I've been convicted that God loves me and he's died to save me. What can I do? And I choose to believe in him. And these people gave their lives to him and were baptized. That's what we love to see. We've got a baptism service coming up, 4th of July, in the Sunday afternoon, probably round the corner, at Cornerstone Baptist Church. If you'd like to be baptized, we would love to help you and be part of that with you. Please talk to your growth group leader or to a member of the pastoral staff. So the Holy Spirit was there at the creation of the world. He was transforming primordial chaos into the beauty and order of the created universe. Immense power. So you would expect that when he turns up amongst us, amongst ordinary people, dramatic things should happen. There should be transformation in our community. Something miraculous, something inexplicable apart from him. We need that explosive power to change us. We need something amazing to deal with our selfishness, our propensity to violence. Our materialism, our brokenness needs to be mended. Our sicknesses need to be healed. So this story is from 2,000 years ago, but this is for the now as well as then. It's the already of the kingdom. It can and should be an everyday part of your life and your life. Not just for 2,000 years ago, not just for celebrity Christians, not just for the future, but for today, for now. So I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And we're going to do it in the context of communion. This is our tradition, is to take communion on the fourth Sunday of the month. So we're going to do that together. We're going to do it in the church building here, and individually. And I'm going to invite you to join in online as well. Just like those early Christians, it said they break bread together, verse 46. And this belief, and when people believed Jesus and when they were baptized and they were brought together into a new communion, a new group of people, a new body, They presented, like with the money, like with the way they did their, lived their lives, they presented a radically better story. Our community is going to show a radically better story when the Holy Spirit comes. A new way of doing life. And they, as part of that, were celebrating and remembering Jesus dying for them. And that was sharing communion, the bread and the wine. So we're going to do that together. And it's we can't all be together. Those of you online are on your own or in your home with your family. You can share with each other, or if you're on your own, then we're with you in our prayers, and for the people here doing this individually. So we're going to take a few minutes just to organize ourselves, figure out how to use these individual packs, find your bread and wine at home. Michael is going to lead us in a wonderful song that will prepare our hearts, and then I'll be back to take you through that.